present, and Counselor Ward is present at the moment. If you'll stand, I'll pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Discussion of priorities. I'll let our city manager lead off.
Well, I wish Karen was here, but so I guess we'll just start. And I was going to, actually, what the plan was today, this is a chance really for the council to, and I'm going to take notes and she will, just kind of the things that are a priority to the council. So we're putting the budget together, and it's kind of a, it's not a goal setting. We're not saying this is number one or two or any of those things, but it gives me an idea when we're putting the budget together where we have flexibility. You know, if three of you are fussing about something, well, then you can flexibility it over there. If three of you hate something and only the mayor likes it, well, then you don't put it in. See, isn't that how it works?
So it's not supposed to, I guess.
But, you know, it'll help me put the budget together. And so it, I hand out the little deal with the kind of the order, and I kind of core, and I thought you had administration, public works, planning, community development. That, those are, we don't have sheriff, we don't have fire. So that doesn't mean that you might not have an issue there, but it's more of with those jurisdictions. I mean, we don't provide those services. So we provide, and the biggest ones we provide is public works and planning, really. And so we got to focus on those, make sure we get those all good. And then I put down non-core services, and that can, that, you know, that can be the Girl Scouts. It's the whatever, you know, it's that other stuff. And so it's really a chance for you to kind of give your thoughts on where you'd like. Well, I thought we went by the categories, but I wanted to start with Summer because she's got lots to do and she's here, and talk about, she's been working. I got my first, and it's the draft, so you don't get it, but the, now we actually, our first February end of with a financial statement that has year-to-date budgeted amount over and short, percent of budget, that type of thing.
Will we see that next week?
Oh, you'll see it when it's ready.
Okay.
it has to be accurate.
Sure.
We just don't hand out as accurate as we can make it. You for a year and 14 months, you've got lots of financial statements.
Multiple in one meeting.
Rick, what you could do if you want is just pass it around so they can see the actual format of what's going to look at. It's totally up to you.
But anyway, today is the first time I got it. So she's, and we, her and I, then when I went through it, and she's going to do some more updates and things, I got to make sure we're trying to make it fit in. And good, we waited long enough. Well,
But this will be what the format will follow.
It could change too.
We can make it whatever you want. This is the default template out of your accounting system. Okay. And we've buckets, and you guys defined the accounts in the budget process, and we've defined the funds. But as far as the actual format, we can play with that.
Okay.
Is this pretty much the same one we used to have, where we had budget, current, and percentage?
It's going to have like the month, not this month because it's all lumped together, but in the future you're going to get, if we spend $1,000 on electricity in March, it'll say you spent $1,000 in March. Year to date you spent $9,000. You budgeted $12,000. You use 67% of your budget. And right now I just wrote on there, we're at 67% of the year. So if you look at the right column, the first page is income. Yeah. And anything that's above 67% is good. You've got more money than we thought. If it's below 67, that means it's under. Now something's come in differently. But when you look at this, in all cases, we are over income and under expenses.
Okay.
Which is exactly where you want to be.
I think about us looking at that at one meeting, and the more data you got, the quicker you get lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all I want, personally, mm-hmm. all I want to know is where the budget is, where we are, what percentage, basically what's right there. Because we can talk about that, and we know right then, without a great deal of effort, mm-hmm. where we are financially.
And there are some pages in there, if we were going over at a meeting, we would take out. There's a bunch of them, some that are just zeros. And you, is there a way to do a consolidated?
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. Is that's the level that your finance director and your city manager are going to want to review, is that all that line item detail.
Right.
What you guys are going to want to see and what I'm recommending is a quarterly financial report. And it can be at whatever level of detail you guys decide, but generally what's most successful is like a one-page summary, and the buzzword in the industry is a dashboard, financial dashboard. It's one-page summary, maybe by fund, here's your revenue, budget, actual variance. And then if there's something crazy out there, there might be a quick description. But you keep it short, you keep it to the point, and then if you guys have further questions, you can go back into the detail.
The only thing I have about that is, or I think about, is it's hard enough to keep your mind tuned in to what this whole thing looks like.
Okay.
And when you get a summary like that, mm-hmm. you're still not, unless you spend time in this and look it over and all of that, mm-hmm. you're still not getting a good description of where everything is. One of the big questions that come up for us, as I recall, is the discretionary money. You know, we can never remember when somebody comes in all of a sudden and they want $250, and it's, you know, this time of year, how much we've spent, who got what, and those are the kinds of funds that we probably need to
keep track of.
We could give them a detail on that.
Yeah, and you guys can define whatever you want your finance director to give you. So when we get the financial structure and the financial system down and get it all cleaned up, we'll come to you. Maybe we'll do a work session and just hash it out to figure out exactly what you want to see. But we'll every month or quarter. I'd rather have you do it quarterly. You've got a lot of stuff to worry about. But a quarterly financial report, and you can define exactly what you want to see every quarter. And maybe that list of the discretionary funds is on that, is part of that quarterly report that you get. Yeah, you can make it whatever you want.
Is that pretty much what?
Yeah, but for me it is what I've been talking to her about. And I think the one thing for me that I like is what COIC does, is this last column is the actual dollars left.
That
you have
mm-hmm.
to spend.
Right.
And I like that. It puts it for me right out there.
Yeah,
definitely. At the record request, Councilor Ward is out of attendance. Thank you.
I'm late.
That's all right. We just started. Well, I'll just say another couple words and let her kind of go through her thing. I think on the financials, we can tailor it for what you want. You know, I sit on enough boards. And you get these ones this thick, and you know what they do? They do exactly what you guys are doing. It comes through, and you happy about your 3 minutes when people, and then someone sitting, they glance at one little thing and ask a question, but in reality, you know, I'm going to be looking at the Chutes River Conservancy financials tomorrow. You know what? I really couldn't tell you. I just have to hope. And so I think what Summer's trying to say is, we can give a one-page summary, and then we can give you the 20 pages for those who want to go home and highlight. But I think that it would be nice to have one that says the general fund, and you could have the categories. Even you could probably do materials and services. You could do it to where materials and services, we budgeted $100,000, we've spent $50,000, and we're halfway through the year. Now, and then if you want to know what's in materials and services, how much did you spend on the phone bill compared to the power bill? You can get that detail. But for you as a council, I think what you want to know is we budgeted $100,000 in payroll, we're already at $100,000, we got four more months to go.
We're in trouble.
And you're going to say, whoa, we're going to be in trouble on payroll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, and then do those categories on the maybe, and then we can email and have you, because the detail is there. Mm-hmm. It's just at a meeting when you're approving what she's thinking, we should have you approve the financials quarterly. They exist monthly, but quarterly, you actually would kind of approve them on part of our consent agenda or something, or we actually put it as an agenda item.
I actually think we're going to do it quarterly, where we used to do it monthly. You used to have that nice little sheet.
You'll get it.
It real quick every month, if we're going to do it quarterly, I think I'd like to see it as an item.
As an actual agenda
item. And we go over it, give it 10 minutes.
Yes.
Sure.
You know,
I agree.
And then move on.
Yeah. Is that, like I say, and she said, we'll be able to tweak it. So she's been working hard on things. Okay. As I told her, I said, I'd like you to update because, you know, she's not here in the evening for our meetings. And so it's a first chance really kind of with this, but yet separate, just to hear from her on what she's done, what she's found, where she thinks we need to go or not go yet, and, you know.
Yeah.
Summer.
And I gave you more detail so you can look back on this later if you want, but I'll just hit the highlights. So I started here the first part of February, and Rick sat down with me and he said, Summer, we've got a lot to do. Priority number one, I need this. And he described this, and he said, I need this. What do you need to do to give me this so that I can do the budget? And I said, okay, let me look into it. And I looked into it, and we realized that within your accounting system, some of the structures of it had become weak and confusing. And so we restructured your accounting system so that it can create the buckets that you need to be able to create these reports. And the reports are based on your budget. So I started with your budget, looked at the system, we reconfigured it so that it'll kick out this kind of report. Most of the month of February was spent doing all of that work, and we finally got it done. So I'm checking that off. The structural piece is complete. We'll have some cleanup of the actual transactions to do, but the rest of it's complete. On the side, while this stuff was moving forward, another thing that Rick asked me to look at was your bank accounts. And you guys approved a motion a couple weeks ago, yeah. I think it was, to consolidate your accounts. You had 9 different bank accounts spread out, which is just kind of crazy. So we consolidated that down to 4. And I think you can get it down to 3 and probably should get it down to 3. But what we're doing in the meantime is another task that Rick asked me to do was to take a look at the banks and look at where the money is. We have quite a bit of money at Home Federal right now, which is no longer in the community of Lapine. And we'll keep that money local if we can.
Right?
So you've got 2 banks that are here local, Washington Federal and U.S. Bank. And so we're looking at your entire cash picture, and I sent them a letter, an informal request for proposal, and said, hey, here's what we've got. If you're interested in the city's business, please send me a letter back with what you can do for us. And they both did. And so we're in the process of reviewing those proposals, and we'll figure out where to put the money. What we will most likely do is have a primary relationship that will have most of your like operating accounts. But just for diversification, it's a good idea to keep an account at the other bank as well, and we'll keep that money local. So the secondary bank will have some kind of investment account, a money market or something like that with some money in it as well.
So and you say, I was just reading the response from U.S. Bank today, but I mean, she's doing a good, she asked them, what's your community involvement? How many hours do your employees spend in the community donating time? And U.S. Bank in Idaho responded, somehow they must keep track. And they said, we have an employee that's the manager of this. This one serves on this. They were in cohort too. Mm-hmm. And then what have you donated in the community? We've donated $5,000 for this, $5,000 to this. Mm-hmm. You mean, she's putting it to them. And they're responding. We've got about $5 million, and so it's a lot of money for these little banks.
It's a lot of money.
And the total deposits at Washington Federal is about $40 million. We're 5 of it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
big
Home players. Federal's got a chunk now as well.
Yeah. Huh?
Big player.
Home Federal has a chunk now.
So anyway. Continue it, but it's been good. So we don't know where we're going to be yet, mm-hmm. but we will. And you also think we closed 3 or 4?
Closed
5
of
9,
so you're down to 4. The other thing that's important to me when you're looking at the bank is the security standpoint. I mean, these are taxpayer dollars or ratepayer dollars for utility, and they need to be secure. So we have FDIC coverage, but if a bank is holding public funds, it has to do a couple special things. One, it has to register with the state to become a qualified public depository. And what the state does is it says, okay, if you're going to hold public money, you have to collateralize it. So if the city puts $1 million in your bank, you have to take a good chunk of that, whatever percentage, the state says it could be 50, it could be 80, 90, 100% of that same amount, the bank has to set that money aside as collateral. So what I've been asking of these two banks is, okay, tell me about how you're going to help the city make sure this money stays safe in the event your bank should collapse or whatever should happen. So that's another factor that,
And then there's insurance that you pay.
There's a small amount
but
that
it's not
the
much.
City will pay. Mm-hmm.
So that came up at a council meeting. I believe a lady in the audience had went up, and I think it was the lady from out in your neighborhood that was here the one night. Some lady. But anyway, she got up there and she'd said, well, you know, you only got two. When I brought up that we were going to, she said, we only got $250,000 insurance. You know, you need to watch it.
Right.
But what Summer's talking about is it has to be collateralized, and then there's insurance above the $250,000. So that's all part. When we have $1 million in the bank, we're covered. I mean, we're in safe shape, and that's a law. So unlike if one of you had $500,000 in the bank, you're only good $250,000 of insurance, but the city will be protected.
Okay.
So those have been kind of happening on the side while we've been focusing on getting the financials cleaned up. So now that that's done, we've been realizing that, hey, the auditors are going to be here in a couple weeks, looking at the last fiscal year, right? So now we're living in three fiscal years. You've got the last fiscal year under audit, the one we're currently in, and you guys are starting to budget for the next year.
I'm glad you're here.
I am. I love this. So, auditors, and I used to be an auditor, so I know exactly what they're looking for. I can get it all ready for them. Not that we're hiding anything, but they want special documents, and I know how to prepare those for them. So, I took a quick look and have been looking at your financial records. And you've been without financial oversight or a finance director for almost a year, and you don't get away with that squeaky clean. So I'm going back and looking at the numbers that the auditors are going to start looking at, and there's some work that needs to be done. There's usually a year-end closeout and a balancing process that happens, and that hasn't happened yet. So that's my next priority, number one, is to start tackling that and getting ready for the auditors.
What is that closeout date? Is that for last June 30th?
Of 13.
Okay.
Yep. That's your fiscal year end. So those are the numbers that they're auditing.
So yeah, normally the audit would have been done before, you know, before now, and then we'd have good starting numbers, and if there's a difference, you would have it. So we're still using, and so until the audit's done, so we may have to make adjustments in that financial statement, you know.
Yep.
So again, Trey's trying to catch up for, you know.
And a couple significant things happened for you guys in 2013 that we'll want to make sure are clean before the auditors get here. You had the consolidation of the water and sewer districts. Mm-hmm. That happened July 1 of 2012, so the first part. This is the first fiscal year with everything consolidated. And I think the cemetery came in during that year as well. So there's some work to be done to get it all corralled and get it ready. So that's my next task. Any questions you guys have for me while you
Do you see any problems?
I don't see any, like, fraud or anything that is really scary. So I've seen this kind of financial condition before, but it was a completely different scenario. And you guys have acted quickly enough, made the right decisions in bringing Rick in and in bringing me in and making sure you're on track to get a foundation, a solid foundation in place that you can move forward on. I don't see any major issues.
When you get to the point that you're ready for the audit, could we have another meeting with Summer and go over some of any potential problems?
Well, we have to wait for the audit. We have to let them do their thing, I think.
Yeah, the auditors are here in a couple of weeks.
Maybe a month afterwards or something.
We have to wait. We'll get an audit report, and they'll come give a present. One of the things that can meet with all of you, that's all public meeting, and so, I mean, you know, you don't really, I mean, we'll get an audit, and that's...
As I'm scrubbing stuff up, if I find anything major, you guys will hear about it.
Okay, yeah. I just want to, for all of us, be prepared if something hits the fan and we're not in the way of it.
Yeah, it won't be the prettiest audit, probably. But you knew that.
And I think it's important for us to hear that. I mean, I think it's important for us to recognize that we've had a period of time that covers 3 years, and we've had some things happen in the middle of that that have us where we are today. Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things will impress upon us the importance of always dealing with our financials and paying whatever it takes to have good financials.
Yeah, you guys are recognizing the cost of all of that now. I mean, you've been working without knowing your financial position for however long,
yeah.
And that's tough. How can you...
It's scary.
It is scary to make decisions when you don't really know, right?
You haven't had them for a year, and then you had them, the ones you got for a year prior
weren't.
Right. So really, you know, it's a long process. So
your other cost will be audit comments. Your other cost will be paying me to come in and get it in order.
You know what?
And that's,
we're paying the price right now.
Yeah. You'll get through it. And you'll get the right person in your finance director chair, whether it's contracted or whatever, and they will keep it in line for you.
You know, when we there's always some fallout with the community when you get a bad audit, can be, depending on what it said, it can be, people can, I don't know, it, when you get a bad audit, I mean, it's most likely, what's the ramifications from a purely, not the political side or the community, what's the legal ramifications? Is there particularly, or is it just?
So the legal ramifications are, one, if you go over budget in something, I mean, technically the state can come after you guys individually to make it right. I don't see that being an issue necessarily because the city had a budget. It might be off in some categories here and there, but in total I think you're going to be fine. So I'm not too worried about that. And even if there were items over budget, you create a plan to remedy those and you move on. The state has never come after someone that I know of, you know, personally for something like this. The other piece of it is compliance with your debt issuances or your granting agencies. So some of your debt issuances are requiring your audit to be done at a certain time, or they may have concerns about the comments that come out of it, especially if there are internal control deficiencies that might impact the information you've given them or your ability to repay the loan or whatever it might be. So that can get a little tricky.
So mostly it's probably bad. Just kind of, we have a black eye a little bit that, you know, ultimately it's up to the council to, the buck does stop with you five. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, people are thinking, you know, you look at Oak Ridge and these places, at the end of the day, you know, we can talk about all the other, like say, the fun things around town. But you know, the fiduciary responsibility lies with the five of you. You hire the manager and the finance people, and you've got to make sure it's getting done. And it's like I always say to you, you get tired, it is the boring stuff.
But we haven't had a bad audit up to
yet. No, because you know, if you went to our last audit, was that's when we didn't have sewer and water, and you know we were basically a general fund. You had some franchise fee income in, and you had just the staff sitting in here. You didn't have, you know, kind of all the other things. We didn't have,
didn't have the loans
with the USDA. You didn't have the incomes and all the other. Just, I mean, our place complicated tremendously. At the same time, you had a staff change. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just kind of went to there. And we've said that we took on the utilities, but that was it. You know, we read the meters and we sent a bill and the money came in. And then they just kept putting it in the same bank account with the bank statement saying Lapine Water District, sending out late notices that said you're late, pay the Lapine Water District. A year later, that's what a late notice says, send it to Lapine Water District. You know, all we did was just move it from there to here, and nobody then went in any deeper on any of this.
Right. We didn't have in place management level that should have been doing that for us to get it done.
So you're bound to. You do now. And
absolutely.
So that 2012-13 is just, you know, I'm kind of like resign myself, we'll fix and do what we can. But
that's all you can
me
do.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's, but that is one reason that I, you know, well, I always say you don't throw rocks, you know, if you live in a glass house. So we have to be a little careful when we start wanting to pick on other groups and entities. I think that better, I think, wait until your house is in order.
The storm window.
Before you, you know, clean your own nest.
Speaking of the USDA and the water and sewer loans, so when you brought those on, you also, even though it didn't get, the debt didn't get reassigned technically to the city until November of last year, the district still had the same covenants. And right now you are out of compliance with your USDA loans. The USDA loans require your audit to be done by the end of November of each year. So they're aware, I've already had this conversation with Pam. I've told her it's likely that it will be June before it gets issued. And she said, wow. And she said, okay, well, just keep me posted. So that's the status of that.
Yeah.
She knows that you guys have brought me in. She knows who I am. She knows you guys have brought me in and what I'm doing. So she's happy with that decision.
So I think, you know, we'll spend, we have to audit, and then we'll continue working on this, and then see, you know, what's kind of that. But so far, it's going great. She's done a good job, and when she's here, those couple days, she does lots of stuff in patio. She sits in there, and she's just going. And, you know, whatever, we have to work with Cassell. She's on the phone with Cassell, because they're the ones that then help coordinate and do some of this with her.
Right.
So it's been great. So this is exactly what we needed. And we will spend a little money doing it, but, you know, we'll be fine.
Then the coordinating with COSEL, now that will help that program work better for us.
Right now we're using them to do some things, you know, that's probably not a long-term solution.
Right. The work that I've been doing with them now was restructuring the system and setting it up in a different way. They have some routines and stuff they can do on the back end that saved us a lot of manual labor and manually changing accounts and stuff. So that's the main reason I was using them. And they also reviewed the methodology that we had talked about moving forward, just so we weren't missing anything. And I had missed something, not knowing how their system worked. So they were able to catch that and say, that's not quite going to work, and redirected us. And it went really well.
Good. So I'd say maybe in a couple months, and we'll know where we are, and then some direction ahead, we'll be able to come and say, this is where I think we need to go long term.
Right.
With Cassell, without Cassell, part of doing payroll out, who knows, the combination of what we need. Some of the stuff we do is pretty basic, you know, entering accounts payable. So you get the power bill, you get the garbage bill, you know, that can be keyed in at a much lower level. The finance director doesn't have to do that. And then, so, you know, where that was being done in here before, you know, there isn't 40 hours. There isn't 40 hours of upper level of accounting in there. The thing. That's where you're just keep in the back of your mind.
That was my question.
You know, there isn't. So what you do is you either pay, because we're a small city, we're either trying to get someone full time, but you can't afford the talent level you need. So you're overpaying them to do data entry, underpaying them to do the tough stuff. So you end up in the middle and you kind of have a mess. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and that's a lot of cities struggle with this.
Absolutely.
Smaller cities. So I think that, you know, we're probably going to have some contract or part-time help, because we need the upper level and then you need more of the entry level. And they're two different people, and they're two different personalities, and they're two different skill sets.
How would you see that break out?
I don't know.
X number of days per week?
Or
somewhere in there like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
and
it's
probably
tough.
Have options. I mean, you'll have options on how much to contract versus what to have in-house, and we'll try to analyze that for you and bring a proposal.
Yeah, I don't have any answer to this one.
No.
It's a tough one. So.
Okay.
It won't be there. Any other questions for me? Yes, okay. Hi.
It might have been talked about before I got here, and I'm sorry I was late. I would like to see a paper trail. I think that when you don't have a paper trail, and you only have, and it's nothing against anybody, it's just that we as the council are responsible for, I need to know what I'm looking at from month to month.
Absolutely. Yeah, anytime you have a question, we should be able to back up whatever we've given you to whatever your satisfaction is. I mean, when you're, especially when you're looking at the financials, I can take you pretty deep in the detail. I can give you paper if you want paper, at least at this point until we go electronically.
Well, now everything's a journal entry, right? Everything's pretty much, I mean, if there's a change or do you can find a journal entry to explain or to show what, if you do something or.
Yeah, so you have your systematic transactions that happen every day, and then you have this balancing that we have to do and reconciliations and all of that that create journal entries. The journal entries are where you're most likely, usually most likely, to find fraud or manipulation of financial statements or something else like that. So as you're doing your quarterly review of the financials, or as you're out and about and have a general question, or if you see something in the paper, or if you get some kind of report from one of us, and you have questions and want to dig deeper, please do.
Like now all adjustments in the utility bills or any of that, you know, there's yeah. any time, you know, now with this more integrated system to where everything talks to each other, you know, bill goes out for $100, you know, and you're then, well, I'm going to take $10 off. Well, there'll have to be some wording as to why, and then I get a printout and I approve all of those kinds of things. The staff in here has no power on their own. I mean, to do that basically, or if they do, I have to see it. I mean, if it's a $10 deal, they may go ahead and do it, but I get a list of it, and then, you know.
Karen, also, we talked about the information that we're gonna get on the financials, and it was talked about before you got here, that we'll get a quarterly financial report that's got about four columns, what the budget is year to date, and a percentage, those kind of numbers. So
that's exactly what I was asking
I,
for.
I yeah. knew that was so, and we've talked about that, and yeah.
Yeah, actually, before you, so this is.
And
our
I figured
first,
I'd missed it.
Now this is our first one, and we're still kind of tweaking it, but this is the first time we have year to date, what we budgeted, how much we're over or short, the percentage of what, so you can really tell, did you overspend, underspend, and then you know you can. Because you may overspend the pencil fund, underspend the pen fund. You know, I mean, really, that's the detail that you get here. Now, not that doesn't matter. You just want to make sure that the funds are pretty, you know. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, do me some more hunting on that budgeting on there, if there's a way to do that.
Already got a report for
you. Oh, okay, good.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have fun.
Is
the door open, closed?
Well, it's fine, yeah. Okay.
It'll warm up in here then.
Well, we can turn the heat up. Now, Dre, just close your eyes.
I wore a short sleeve, nice, comfortable shirt, and I'm ready for it.
It's the end. Okay, the city management, as far as the discussion of the almost the full-time, part-time, and how that needs to be, that's it. So I think that has to be worked on and decided as part of what we just talked about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See? So, you know, so that's why I put it there, is I mean, at this point, I don't have any recommendation on, and I can hear from you guys on it, but as far as, you know, how do we set this up for the long term? I don't have an answer. I mean, we can go do it. I mean, we can put an ad out, and we can fill a full-time person tomorrow, but is that how we want, you know, we could be right back where we were, so we got to really think it through, and you can't do it in a vacuum, and that's why I think figuring out the finance side,
mm-hmm. right.
And then depending on what's needed there, then you can decide, okay, well, what's needed here, and they are two different people, you mean, really, I mean, the city manager and the finance person, this is, what she's doing is a CPA high level, and you're not going to find many city
the person that has the social skills to work with the community often does not have the technical skills to do the CPA stuff. They're just different personalities. So, you know.
But Rick, we interviewed, when we interviewed Summer,
mm-hmm.
we interviewed that second party. I
yeah.
thought the idea was that when Summer was finished, that that other party.
And that's a possibility. He is still up at Hood River
okay.
working. And so a lot of months have went by.
Okay.
And so again, we just don't know where and what.
Where that is. Okay.
Yeah.
We're not at the point where we need to even start really thinking.
No, I just wanted to, yeah, I mean, you look, yes, I mean, that's where it is, but, you know, and any thoughts you have or what you want. I mean, so for this year, you know, in the budget, we would put, I mean, far as the, you know, we'd put it as if you had a full-time manager and the salary about what you're going to pay, because sometime through that year, you would be hiring someone. So I'm on a contract. So when you see the financial statement, as of right now, I mean, if this is, you know, again, we're still making adjustments, but we've only spent on the, we should be at 67% in the general fund, and we're at 30 on personnel. Because you don't have, we've only spent $14,000 this year on in management. Well, that's because there wasn't, mine doesn't come out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, but we still got to keep the numbers in there, because when you hire someone, you've got to have it there.
Right.
So it'll make the contract number higher and the payroll number less.
Yeah.
See? Mm-hmm. And like Summer, she's going to come out of contract. She's not coming out of Lori's salary. I mean, the difference is you've saved a bunch of money no matter what, because, you know, she's not here as many hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you pay her more per hour, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
You have all the
yeah.
experiences and all that.
So, I guess that's, you know, and then when you get down to just general discussion, if there's things as we work through this you want us to try to prioritize or to try to work on, you know, for me, my side of it is I still want to work on what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, you don't like, you get tired of me saying it, but I just feel that my job is to get us on a sound financial administrative track. And if that means you have to say no to some other things and whatever, or be grumpy, that's
well,
what you got to do.
Yeah. Finances come first.
That's,
yeah.
You know, if you're not square there, you've got a problem.
Right. So. One of the pieces I'd like to put in the budget, and I was coming around, as I have mentioned a couple of, but I'd like to see us, you know, this year we bought software and we've done some other, you know, getting things going. One of the things next year, I think the next piece would be is a whole salary schedule and a whole classification for our employees. You know, they deunionized, and since they've been here, they really, it's just, you know, someone gets a new certificate, they get 50 cent raise or something. There really hasn't been any discussion on broader, is it cost of livings, and you have a new kid coming on in a week and a half. Well, you know, usually you get a step increases 6 months or a year, and second year and third year. There is no schedule. And, you know, so we need to know, and we're going to demand of that kid that he get some certificates and things. So you know, you have a utility worker one, which is a kind of a known title in the industry, and then you have a utility worker two. And then, you know, you start there at one and you work across a five-step or a seven-step scale. You know, and if you're a utility worker one, and you get out to step five, there's no more step increases unless you go to school, get some training. You don't just keep getting raises, you know, if you're entry level. You know, so anyone that stagnates, their payroll stagnates. So anyway, there are companies that go out, you know, and they'll check cities your size, do them a little smaller and a little bigger, and, you know, they'll give you the names of those cities and say, this is what they pay the utility worker one in Cove, Oregon, population 1,700, you know, and so on. And then you kind of get a mate. And then when we're all done with that, we'll approve a salary schedule. And then if you're going to give a cost of living increase of 1%, you key it in, it moves it all up, and you are, you know, exactly. We don't have any of that right now. Is that true, Scott?
It's very true.
I mean, does it come up, or do you wonder?
Well, there is wonder with the employee, I guess.
Yeah.
Or some of the other employees as well. That, I guess you want to know where, what you can aim for next. And now, right now there's no, you don't know.
There's no target.
I think that's for one of the building blocks that the brick and mortar that we're going to do, and I think it's an appropriate time.
We'll incorporate into our personnel, right. You know, have a salary schedule. And look at this PTO, or first vacation and sick leave, and a little of that. You know, because there's some like it one way, some like it another. I have no answer to it. It's personal choice. But that's one of the, you know, I think that for next year. Obviously, urban renewal, which is kind of down with community development, but as far as, I mean, urban renewal is going to take us 6 months of work. So, then it'll kind of just rest. Then working out at Wiki up with these folks, I think we need to try to do something with them. Try to help them. There's a group that met. Did you?
I didn't. I couldn't go.
I thought it was it. Today.
I know you didn't make it either.
I thought it was today, not yesterday. But
well, I knew you were busy, so she said you didn't show up.
Kathy DeBone says, "You want me to order your lunch?" Like they're sitting at the restaurant. And I'm like, "Oh, no, I'm having lunch tomorrow with you." But you know, WikiUp, you know, needs some tender, loving care, and with the ODOT project coming and. You know, we're just going to help, you know, help facilitate. Could be a chamber committee or something that kind of looks at some ways to, with moving out the wood carver when that's all done, starting to get some of those areas cleaned up and kind of doing some love out there. And then during construction, it's going to be torn up. So that gives you some time then to come up with some, what do you want it to be when it grows up? And some of the business people out there, they want to form a little group. And I suggested the chamber because they have insurance and they're a structure. It could be a WikiUp working group. It could be the WikiUp business
owners,
whatever. Yeah. And then they'll just spend a couple, 3 years while this construction's going about what do they want to be, signage. And they put white picket fences out or they put bushes out. And maybe we put 3 or 4 street lights out for them. You know, that's something we could do out there. But then these are all just talking out loud. I have no clue. We never even met.
But I think it's good. I think it's good area for us to be talking about, because you know we're doing this down here, and that's still part of the city down there. So if the city can help can help the group that's trying to facilitate it to a betterment of the city, then I think we should. I think the council should be interested in doing something.
I know. You know, up there, down here, we're all one.
Absolutely.
Know? And I don't know about if the urban renewal takes off in a year from now, shouldn't the same things that apply down here apply up there?
That's something you don't know.
That we need to talk with this other group about and get us all at the same table.
They're different. I mean, our downtowns are different than.
Okay.
You know, I mean, when you say it, you're one city, but, you know, downtown Bend is different than 3rd Street, and 3rd Street's different than the west side, you know, where the college is going to go. I mean, you don't make them all just cookie cutter.
Okay.
So WikiUp is...
WikiUp.
Down there.
Yeah. So I think, you know, it's a different kind of look. It's a different kind of feel. But we just know that what we have isn't probably the look or feel that we need.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But what is it?
Yeah, that's...
And I agree, you know, and so I think while we're putting this effort down here, we need to make them feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it would be nice to make us feel like we're a part of the city.
Yeah.
The sign still says Lapine 2 miles.
Well, it's talking about the city center.
Sorry.
But actually...
That's what it says.
But
and he's right. We sitting there feel like with the overpass going in, the street that used to come out on 97 going clear down that way and the others going that way, we sort of feel separated. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to feel like we were a part of the city. People still ask me, Karen, you sure you live in Lapine?
Yeah.
They can still be a
sorry, that's what they say.
Unique style in their own that's accepting to everything and just draws people for the uniqueness.
And they're going to actually have the more modern look right there. See, I'm saying they, when it shouldn't be there.
Well, it's wicked, but it is a different place. Don't apologize for that. It's not, you know, when you say 2 miles, do you know that when you're inside the city of Portland, it says Portland 10 miles. All cities are actually miled from the downtown. It's not the edge of the city limits. That's true of all cities. Because cities move out. They don't run around moving. In other words, when Redmond's doubled its size, it's not now 2 miles shorter from Batters to Redmond because they moved 2 miles north. It's still 28 miles. And that's actually, when you think about it, start driving, mm-hmm. you'll find a Salem. It's downtown. It'll say Salem 3 miles, but I'm inside the city of Salem. Yeah. So the fact that out there it says Lapine 2 miles mm-hmm. isn't have anything to do with the fact that, well, it should be 0 miles or...
there's the city limits.
Yeah, that's not how it works. So
I'll explain that the next time they fuss.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so anyway, but so I think that could be something we could work on a little bit. Now, budget-wise, I don't know that it has a big impact, but, you know, maybe it's just something to be aware of with some little... When we look at your community fund or business fund, maybe you were talking, maybe you budget $5,000 a WICCIP or something if you try to, and
if you're talking about adding streetlights,
that's true.
Affect the budget.
Lights would make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
On Frontage Road, along there.
Well, and in the Gordies, I mean, it's pitch black.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a couple semis.
Well, there's two lights down there, but they're not.
And then ODOT might add some because we talked about them here.
Right.
So
if nothing more than a more wattage, you know.
Well, right now on the Frontage Road, there's like two or three little round lights, I believe. Next, I think there's a round, like a decorative. I don't know who pays for them. Right. There's a couple of those on that Frontage Road, I believe.
That's the bowling alley pays.
Could be that someone's done that.
There's, it is dark out there, but regardless of what they've got.
And I know that the Chevron, the gas station's going to become a Chevron, and that's going to bring more people out there. I mean, Chevron station people love Chevrons. And that cut rate.
The one there at the
what, I don't know what it's
quick
called.
Arms.
Wiki Amp, you mean?
No, the Mini Mart.
The Mini Mart.
Yeah, it's unbranded now, isn't
it?
Right.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to become, the owner told me when I was in there, I always go around and visit everyone, and he told me, I met the owner, and he said it's going to become a Chevron. And the Chevron rep, I saw at a Duck game, told me it was going to become a Chevron.
And that's a new owner, too.
Yes, and they've stocked that store up. And so he asked me about, well, he wanted to, he's got all those arborvitaes out there. Kind of that junipery stuff that just
is juniper.
Cobwebs and junk.
Spiders.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to take it out, and Lodot said, well, you have to have some barrier. And that's where I seen it. And you go down to West Schwab, Wiki, you've got the white fence. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, maybe there's some little, it wouldn't take much to go out that whole length, put in a little white fence uh-huh. with some street lights. You'd immediately have a different look. And you could go and say, use it. And I bet Les Schwab and all these other ones, that some of them would start putting up the white fence, say, okay, I think the Napa store would do it.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the man that wants to do the elk or the horses or the deer.
Oh, right, the elk.
you know, we maybe get those owners where the police car is at the wood shop along there, because that lot's going to sit there for a while. Maybe temporarily put those elk and deer. So when you come into Lapine, again, this stuff, this is not any money, really. These are like Sisters has the.
I'll tell you about it.
They're cut out.
Oh, cool.
People like them. Yeah. Sisters loves theirs. And this guy called, he makes them, and he thought some deer or elk or something. I don't know. But so again, don't get caught up on what it is.
The metal art.
Yeah, metal art.
Yeah.
Metal.
Okay. Yeah. Stuff's great.
Rick asked me to pick that up from him, and it's popular. Sort of like the Sisters' horses. We're looking at land. I'm directing them toward people who have the land and identifying other pieces for them. But there's a price tag for it, of course, and there's already some donors and that kind of stuff. So
okay.
Where does it go?
Well, I think that's enough on statements. We go to Public Works unless you have any more comments. And just remember, we'll do a free-for-all here. So this is your chance to
One thing I suggested last time, I think, bearing in mind what we're going into in this audit, that this year might be a good year to start getting that contingency fund built, you know, for the city. I know you have one for the water sewer, but something that, you know, we could have just in place to fall back on, just like this year. You know, everybody's wondering what's that audit going to come out to be if there's a shortage. I don't want them coming out
adequate.
Each of us.
Adequate contingency.
And just cover our backs a little, maybe cut back on some of the spending that we have done normally.
We've got, you know, we put pretty good contingencies. We have, it's called, and when we get into budget again, but it's your unappropriate ending balances, which are here, and that can't be spent. And then, like in the general fund, we put, we had $225,000 unappropriate ending, which means we had $25,000 in contingency. Yes, we have the bigger ones in sewer and water, obviously, but having those, now, remember, if it's in contingency, you cannot use it unless it's a true, there's actually a set of rules on that. It kind of had to be an emergency.
Right. Does that mean that you can't put it in the budget that says, we're going to save up some money here just in case we want to do something?
Yeah, what you could do, you could just keep upping it, knowing why you're doing it. And then maybe you say it got up to 100 grand, and then the next budget you're thinking, okay, we got this one time for 50 grand. Stu's got him a project. I know. And so then you say, I'd like to advocate, you know, let's this next budget year lower that contingency back down to 50 and take that 50 and put it into something.
Yeah.
And that's where the priorities of the community are important, I think, in a small budget. We're always going to have to build things up because each year we don't have enough. But if we hold it up for 2 or 3 years,
right,
you can. And when we get, well, we'll move into public works. But that's where I think you're going to see me really try to figure out on when all the money that we're going to have to spend to do sidewalks, trees, bushes, lights.
Grass.
Now they're kind of moving things along.
Grass.
The grass, all of that.
So, I
think about, you know, these state funds, you know, like the STIP,
right,
and then the other one, not Travel Oregon, but there's another fund that comes out every year. We're in the fifth phase of it right now. What's it called?
Are you talking the Connect Oregon?
Connect Oregon.
Right.
We know that in all of this time, Rick's been here quite a while, and then we had the previous management. Rick's back. Well, we have been building a city, and that takes lots of time. I think that we ought to. Rick doesn't have time to pursue this filing for Connect Oregon money. And this is money that gets spent down the road. This is money that comes to us. I think I'd like to have us consider putting money in the budget so that somebody could be hired to come in and sit down, that's got skills, to sit down and work up the Connect Oregon piece so we can apply. Because we know down the road somewhere we're going to be building trails through the community and stuff like that. I would just like to see us have the capacity to get involved in that and capture some of that money for that kind of stuff for our community. Bicycle paths, walking paths. But we can't do it now because basically we don't have the level or the money to pay for a staff that allows us to do it. The big cities do. They've got these people that can stop their work, jump onto Connect Oregon, and file for these grants. And this is I think it was $60 million this year, $62 million. And I'd like for the council to think about that.
What kind of money would we be talking about to hire someone? Do you think $5,000 or less? Or?
I think it's less than $5,000.
I mean, CYC is the one who does it. Really, you can pay, CYC will do the work.
Right, right.
And,
they have grant writers and all that. And that's really what they're geared to do.
Right.
You know, but we've never gone there because we've been too busy to actually raise our heads, except that one STIP program that we filed for 15-18.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
On the sidewalk grant, you're right. You have to also, you can only, even though free isn't free,
no,
and capacity, so you have to be careful. You can only take on so many projects, and we have $25 million worth coming over the next 3 years. And that really does take a lot of time, so you got to be careful, you know, if we're going 10 directions. It's odd.
With them laying out there 2 years from when you file, mm-hmm. then it goes through the process. Sure, it's Connect Oregon 5, but that money won't come along until probably the time that they're building the overpass. But that's all my thoughts are.
But I think what you're saying is you'd like to see us increase grant or trying to get grants maybe in general.
Yes.
Not just Connect Oregon. I mean, Connect Oregon may not be one that even fits us.
Exactly. Exactly.
What we're going to want to do is apply for, I would say, the sidewalks for the other side of the road.
Absolutely.
And that may be 2020 when you get it, but I mean, you need to, and by getting this one,
more
I think
that... More than the other.
Yeah. So it looks the same to come into town, but good point. So you should put down some grant writing or try to get more grants.
Right.
Okay, let's move to Public Works. Just the things there, obviously, we know we got all the projects. We spent 2 hours last week, so you're up on all of those. Those take more time, and they do take, you know, I mean, I was on the phone today with Gary Farnsworth, and the First Street, they have meetings all the time, and so now we're going to start into WikiUp stuff. So there is a lot that goes on. These things don't just happen. And so, you know, when we want streetscapes and we want things to look right, Scott's got to move water and sewer lines in some cases, and we got to know what that's all about. And so that's why I talk about the capacity is, you know, you can only do so many of these. But you know, when we have the sidewalks, I want to make sure when we do our budget, I want to get some estimates on, we'll know kind of maybe on the Huntington Road sidewalk. So in case we didn't have enough money in there last year, I can roll that forward and we can throw a little more money to it to go from Crescent Creek into Bymark. I mean, because I just picked a number out of the thin air. And, you know, seems like everything costs more than you think to do it right. So roads, you know, it's not for now, but I think Kegel Road, probably, it's one of those things that's going to take years. I mean, Kegel Road, when I'm looking at the budget, and it could be something we start setting aside some money, not Kegel Subdivision, Kegel Road, which goes through the middle of it, probably needs help. If I was to pick a road in this city that feeds the most number of people that the city has a responsibility of, it's probably Kegel Road. And because it feeds all the other streets. The other dirt streets and gravel streets are just little ones that feed 5 people or something, you know, but that one's the main feeder. A lot of times it's what you guys, I think you said it the other day, you said how Huntington Road, when they do that new part, they did the base, so now it's a lot cheaper to then pave.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought, well, maybe we need to look at Kegel Road in phases. You take it to a full width, which is wider than it is now.
Right.
And you know, you put the culverts in if you need them and do all those things. You get driveways figured out correctly, and then you go in and we do a maybe 2 years from now or something, or 3 years from now, and you go in and you get it based, built up, and then that lasts you for years, just like that Huntington has. And you know, and you then maybe it's 10 years, maybe you say, I'd like to pave it someday. And we could go to a small cities grant with the state that would put 50 or 100 grand into the paving. But start a process and start thinking about the number of community that you can't do anything over there. Those roads are just
mush.
It's what they are. And you have to start with a base, and you have to build it right the first time. And the roads are too low, so they flood. The water goes over the top of them because there's not enough. They need raised and widened. So then when you move snow back, you can still have two lanes. All of that. And that's going to cost, you know, the number of complaints. And I look at, well, we don't provide water, or we don't provide police and fire. Really, what I get here, the complaints probably are roads. And so you look at, it's a core function of the city that there is no other jurisdiction to do. You know, we may not like some of the other things, but there's other people's jobs to do them. That is ours. And so I'm thinking, do we want to prioritize at some point some improvements over there? And you cannot go do six streets. We can't do them all. So you just have to start looking at.
I agree with this thing about Cagle phasing that, phased approach to Cagle. That's logical. Would we also, at the same time, think about doing small amounts of work on the pine and?
It's all about the money.
I know it is. I know it is.
I would just say no. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying right now, you pick Cagle or Wiggett. And you go do it, and then obviously those other ones, we do what we're doing now. It just has to be baby steps, and that, you know, and then probably you then if you're gonna then maybe it's, I mean, literally it depends on the money. We don't have a ton, so maybe it's years after that you go take schedules. Again, we can do traffic counts, all kinds of stuff, but schedule is appearance to me. And you old timers that have been here probably all have your opinions, and it's hard sometimes because people may live on one road, so they want it fixed where they are. But schedule probably has the most traffic feeding up and down it because it's right at Wickiup. So people use it to come out to the highway. See, if I'm over somewhere else, and I talked to a bunch of people during the snowplow, the snow in the gravel and the icky road issues, because I had a lot of calls, and I spent time with probably, well, I say five people. And I talked to them, and they were all very nice. You know, they may go out and gossip, but they were all actually very nice, and they thanked me because I really spent time with them. And I asked them about, how do you go to your house? Where do you live on schedule? Where do you live on this road? Why do you take this road over that road? And it's interesting. And I said, what if we fixed up Cagle? Would you use it? Well, so it's kind of funny. On one hand, I want a smooth road, but boy, the shortest distance drives people.
Yep.
You know, and so anyway, I was just thinking, again, we maybe in this next budget year we couldn't do it, but maybe if we start putting some money aside, it's probably to go build that road up. I mean, it could be $100,000.
Or more.
You know, to really go do it right, I think. How long is, you know, but anyway, so maybe we set some, and that's just something I thought about in roads as far as trying to, and that shortens everyone's distance on a bad, a worse road. That's.
I agree.
And if you choose to run down the whole length of the bad one because you want to get to Wickiup, then bounce your way down. Life is choices. We've given you a way to come down Huntington and come in, you know. Water and sewer. Scott, the major, we're going to go out and do the Glenwood. That'll actually be done before this budget year starts, but we're going to go get Glenwood built there.
Other stuff like the Wickiup pump station, we'll know more. I've been working almost every day with that engineer, doing his pump tests, giving him information. We'll know more on that. But I don't know yet what direction that's going.
You know, any major projects in our system that we need to, that you think next year are, that jump out at you?
Really aren't, nothing major stuff.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, That First Street Reed, is there any sewer lines and stuff there that you're going to get tied up in this signal. Traffic signal, that kind of stuff?
There will be, and I don't know the extent of how far we're going to have to go with that.
Okay.
I don't know that.
I think those are the kinds of things that we're...
Right.
That
I don't
could
know
be
that
the
we
priority,
to,
I would think.
Yeah, we'll
have
to
move
do that.
A lot of lines, or if we just have to move hydrants, I don't know where that all lies out yet. That could be a couple of thousand to $100,000 of moving utilities.
Yeah.
I think we planned $70,000 worth of utility moving on First Street.
Yeah, we put money in.
Last year?
Yeah, this year we're in, but we won't be moving it then. But see, it's easy, and that's why you have a carrier. We can move it. We can kind of move it forward. As long as everyone's aware of it, that that's what you're doing, that you're kind of, you know, you don't see that big number and think, oh, well, you know. Yeah, that's why you need a sheet that kind of says that's how we came up with that number.
Are we involved with the county for the Third Street Reservoir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're talking.
There's going to be some money in there. I mean, we're going to need to.
Well, you're talking what the drain we were talking about.
Right. Yeah.
I kind of have told them I'm keeping that. I've told him maybe, basically $10,000.
I remember. Yeah.
Because we're broke. So we're not, you know, but then we agreed to go ahead and maintain it for them. And I think they're pretty good with that. Now, one good thing that Amy Pfeiffer told me on the side last week after we were done, she said, yeah, I want to start working with you on the sidewalk project because it's going to move up quicker than you think. They want to start working on that, just planning and thing. And she said, you know, we're going to have to maybe try to find some other funding to help with utilities because Lapine doesn't have the money to move the utilities. I said, no, we don't.
True statement.
So we want to make sure, you know, and what Guy and Gary said that on our project out at, they found that they were looking for another 100 or 200 grand on First Street for sidewalks and stuff. And he mentioned how Sisters went from a $500,000 project to what, 3 million or something. So, you know, I think they're good and creative about getting other pots. So we'll have some utility moving. This next 3 years, we will be moving a few. May not be too bad on the sidewalks, because most of them are probably off to the edge anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, our water on this side of the highway is kind of, it's underneath a lot of the sidewalk that's there. Or right in there amongst it, so.
Yeah.
Depends on how they want to put the swales in there. They may,
well,
you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. If they're going to come down and then your pipe's in the way, then you're going to shove it over. Or, you know, depend on how deep they have to go.
So when will we know all that?
Oh, that's a two or three. I mean, they'll start engineering and.
Okay.
Yeah, you won't know anything on that. It could be a year and a half.
Well, it may take us a year and a half to move everything.
Oh, that'll be part of a contract.
Okay.
He's not over moving it.
Okay. Okay. What about the problem at the high school?
The high school is one that. You know, I would say for next year we are going to resolve the school issues with ownership. Ownership issues of what we take care of and what they take care of. And I got a draft MOU, and actually I've called the school, what's his name, and Ben, Mike Tiller. Mike Tiller, and then he's called me twice, so. But we are going to work out, we will have an IGA or something to sign here at some point that spells out whose responsibility is what.
Money for pumps or?
Well, that's just part of our maintenance if it's ours.
Okay.
And we just put in pumps for how much do we spend? We put two new pumps in.
Under around $1,000
with
the electrician.
So you're saying that once you still have the necessity to identify whose responsibility it is.
Yes.
And once you do that, then you'll know more.
Then we're going to know, and what we're doing right now, we're going to go add rings to the manholes.
Right.
We're going to raise it, and then we're going to gravel it out so no water can go down in there. Then I told him maybe if we have to pave it away, so we'll make it all very nice. And if it gets down to where we have to fence it, I want to solve this professionally and make it nice. Plant grass on it, though, except it wouldn't live there because they drive over it. But and then find out on the third one, which we have no agreements on, or no deeds. It looks like we do own, it appears to me, in looking at the deeds and everything, that we do have the responsibility of the high school and the
middle school.
The grade school, which is built in 92-ish, 3-ish, that is totally different. Looking, it's built different. It's up on a mound, and we have nothing. And so it looks like, I think it came with the school contract. And the other two were built with the original sewer system. When you start getting into, I can see, I think, how this all happened. When the districts were formed, they needed customers, and the school was a big one. And so they went out and they, you know, got all these people to sign up. Dick Norad and them, I mean, they were involved in, and they've, I don't know if they engineered it or, but.
He was here 5 or 6 years after.
Well, then who was, somebody had engineered that. And it looks like, and then we have an easement that goes up there. And in that deed of the easement, it actually says the school will maintain power, the city or the district will do X, Y, Z. It's in the deeds. Now, the deeds were never recorded, but we're not in the business of getting technical with our school district. The intent was there. They're signed by all those involved.
Okay.
So the fact they didn't get recorded is a technicality. You know, that someone mean would worry about, but we know the intent. But see, that other school came later, and at that point, the district, you paid for that stuff. You put them in. I think, so when they originally built the district, they included them, is what it appears, because they're built the same, they look the same, the manholes,
so
everything.
Are we going to have to budget any money for that?
Well, in the sewer and water stuff, we put $100,000 or $200,000, because you never know what's going to happen. It's just part of our
major big.
No.
Okay.
No, I think it's what we got to do is keep the storm water from getting in the system. We cannot pump off melted snow, and that's what's going on. And the problem is that the manhole is right at ground level,
yeah.
And so it becomes a lake, drains in it. We're pumping it out. And then we aren't sure that it could be coming from somewhere else on the school property. But first I said, let's raise these up to where no water can go in. Then when we, now what they're going to have is a lake around there. Because when that goes up.
They can do some landscaping.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But it's going to move that water off to wherever.
Somewhere else.
But we are going to make sure that no water goes
gets
in that darn thing.
System.
And he's going to raise it a couple inches, and we have to raise it a couple more. And so that'll be an expense. That's not expensive to just go do that.
And all that kind of stuff comes out of system operations. New pump, even a new control panel or something. If we went to build a new pump station, we'd be we'd be here asking for a budget line.
So then I think one of the big things for next year is going to be the rate study. The rate study will be in, and so then we'll get to go through that and figure out what do we do with the results. And that'll be, it's not a money issue so much as it's a policy, but that'll occupy some public meetings and some things, and that's SDCs and everything. So that'll be in the fall, October, November, December, and then, you know, you'll plot it out ahead. So I would say that's going to be a big thing with sewer water.
Let's take a break.
Yes.
Take 5 minutes for a break.
There's lots of snacks.
Get at ease.
Lots of snacks for everyone. Get your cookies.